Yesterday we learned the three characteristics: impermanence, suffering, and non-soul. Now, Visuddhimagga teaches us what conceals these characteristics and how that concealment is broken. Now, people fail to see impermanence, suffering, and non-soul because there is something that conceals these characteristics. And Visuddhimagga says that the impermanence is concealed by continuity. So the characteristic of impermanence is concealed by continuity. And there is the notion of continuity because people do not give attention to rise and fall. So there are two things here. The continuity and not paying attention to or not seeing the rise and fall of aggregates or mind and matter. Now, what is continuity? Actually, it is not the continuity, but the notion that it is continuous that is concealing the characteristic of impermanence. Let us take some examples. Now, we see something in the form of a rope or of a line at the distance. So when we see that, we think that there is a line, a solid thing. But when we get close to that line, now we see that that line is not a continuous thing, but actually they are ends. So one end following the other. So when we see that they are ends and not a continuous thing, a continuous line, we do not have the notion that this is a continuous line. Now, which is correct or which is the fact? The continuous thing or just the ends? You see a line of ends at a distance. But the fact is, it is not the line, it is the ends. So what is true is the ends and not the line. But we think that it is a line of ends. So in the same way, wait a minute. So why do we think that it is a line, a continuous thing, and not something made up of segments or small things? Because we cannot see the individual things. We cannot see them as arising and disappearing. Suppose there is the beginning of one end and the end of another end, and then that end of another end is followed by the beginning of another end, and then there is the end of that end, and then that is followed by the beginning of another end, and so on. But between the ends, there is a kind of gap. These ends are not connected as a whole. But from a distance, we cannot see the gaps. or the breaks between the ends. And so we think that it is a continuous thing, a continuous line of ends. But in actuality, there is no such thing as a line of ends, but just the ends following one after another. In the same way, when we cannot see the mind and matter, or parts of mind and matter, one separate from another, and they arising and disappearing, we think that they are a continuous thing. Although we have read or we are taught that they are not continuous, they are composed of small parts. If we do not meditate and if we do not really see the arising and disappearing, we still think that it is one continuous thing. Now your body. Your body today is one continuous thing from the body yesterday. You have the same body that you had yesterday, or it is a different body. So at every moment, material particles arise and disappear, but we do not see them. We can see them only when we practice Vipassana meditation. And once we see the material particles as arising and disappearing, the one material particle arises and disappears, and then there is another material property and so on, we are able to get rid of the notion of continuity. Now, it is not a continuous phenomenon going on, but actually small parts arising and disappearing one after another. The same with our minds. We think that we have the same mind that we had 10 years ago, or that we had last month or yesterday. But you all know that mind is new at every moment. There is one mind or one consciousness at one moment and it disappears, and there is another type of consciousness, and then there is another type of consciousness. So when we see these as separate things following one after another, we are able to break the notion of continuity. Now there is no notion of continuity, and once that continuity is broken, the characteristic of impermanence becomes clear to us. Okay, let us take another example. This sheet of paper. Do you think that this sheet of paper is solid and opaque so that we can write with ink on it? We all think that way. So we think that this is a solid thing so that we use this to write on or to wrap up things and so on. But if we put this sheet of paper under a powerful microscope and look through it, what we will see? We will see that this is a thing with more empty space than solid material. So which is the truth? A solid sheet or a thing with empty spaces. Which do you think is the truth? But we say that seeing is believing. Yeah? Now, what do you see? This is a sheet of paper, right? So seeing is not believing. Seeing is misleading. So we put it under a powerful microscope that can magnify things in about 2,000 times. Then we see that our notion was wrong. Now we really see that this is a thing with a lot of empty spaces. So in order to see the truth of this sheet of paper, what do we need? A powerful microscope. So through the microscope, we arrive at the truth about this sheet of paper. It is no longer a continuous sheet, but with many holes in it. So in the same way, we think that this combination of nama and rupa, mind and matter, or the five aggregates, are one whole continuous thing, because we do not have the microscope to see. But we practice vipassana meditation, and now we are able to see the objects or the mind and matter or five aggregates as separate things, and then these things arising and disappearing. So when we see the mind and matter or five aggregates arising and disappearing at every moment, that we are able to break that the notion of continuity. So the vipassana knowledge is like the microscope. Just as we need a microscope to see the truth of a sheet of paper, we need vipassana knowledge to understand the truth of mind and matter or five aggregates, or to see the impermanent nature of the five aggregates. So vipassana knowledge is a powerful tool or powerful instrument we use to discover the characteristic of impermanence of five aggregates or mind and matter. So in one sub-commentary it is said that to one who rightly observes rise and fall, that means to a person who rightly sees rise and fall, states do not manifest in a state of connectedness, but rather in a state of disconnectedness like iron darts. You've seen the iron spikes or iron darts, so they are separate one from another. So to a person who sees rise and fall, that means who practices vipassana meditation and able to see the rise and fall of the aggregates, mental and physical states do not manifest in a state of connectedness. They do not see mind and matter as something connected, but rather they see in a state of disconnectedness. So to those who have reached the stage of seeing the rise and fall of aggregates, these mind and matter appear to them not as connected things, but as disconnected things. So when once a person sees the disconnectedness of things, he comes to know that these things are impermanent. Because when these things, the seeing these things as not as one continuous thing and as disconnected, as composed of many things, then one comes to the understanding that this thing is impermanent. So in order to see the impermanence, the characteristic of impermanence of aggregates, we need to remove the notion of continuity. So long as we think that things are continuous, we will not see the impermanent nature of things. So in order to remove the notion of continuity, we need to watch things. We need to see that the aggregates arise and disappear. So once we see the arising and disappearance of the aggregates, we will be able to get rid of this notion of continuity. And when that notion of continuity is broken, the nature of impermanence manifests itself clearly to us. Now, with regard to the second characteristic, the characteristic of suffering, characteristic of suffering. So the characteristic of suffering or pain does not become apparent because when continuous oppression is not given attention, it is concealed by the postures. So Visuddhimagga says that the characteristic of suffering is concealed by postures. And it can be concealed by postures because we do not pay attention to the continuous oppression. Now, you sit for some time, and then you have pain somewhere. So under normal conditions, when you are not meditating, as soon as there is pain, you will change posture. So when you change into another posture, the pain disappears. So the pain is like removed by the next posture you adopt. So that adopted posture seems to conceal the nature of suffering. We do not know that our body is suffering because we always change postures. We do not sit on when there is pain or numbness or something in our body. Only we sit on and make notes only when we practice meditation. So the changing of postures actually is the one that conceals the dukkha nature of things, actually dukkha nature of the physical body. Now you do not change posture and you sit for 1 hour and you know how much suffering there is. So when Visuddhimagga says it is concealed by postures, means it is concealed by the postures we take to remove the suffering or pain in the previous posture. And Visuddhimagga says, when the postures are exposed by attention to continuous oppression, the characteristic of pain becomes apparent in its true nature. So when the postures are exposed, means when a new posture is taken, the pain disappears. Here, a yogi sees the arising and disappearing arising and disappearing, and first he understands the impermanence. And then he goes on dwelling on arising and disappearing, and so he gets the notion that there is the constant oppression by arising and disappearing. When this constant oppression by arising and disappearing is paid attention to, then the posture cannot conceal the suffering nature. So the suffering nature becomes evident. Once the constant oppression by arising and disappearing is known or is paid attention to. So when a person changes to a different posture, he knows that pain is gone. But if he does not change the posture, then he will be suffering. And so in this way, he knows that the pain in any posture is shifted by substituting another posture. So when he does not change to another posture, then the concealment is removed or open. So when you do not change posture and go on sitting, then you will see the suffering nature of things. That means the constant oppression by arising and disappearing. What do you think of this explanation? Dukkha being concealed by postures. It applies to physical body only. What about mind? What about mental states? Postures cannot conceal, because postures have nothing to do with mental states. Visuddhimagga doesn't say anything about that. So with regard to mental states, I think that failure to see the arising and disappearing is that which conceals the dukkha nature. Now, dukkha nature is the constant oppression by arising and disappearing. Only when you see arising and disappearing, you will see the dukkha nature. If you do not see the arising and disappearing, you will not see the dukkha nature. So failure to see the arising and disappearing may be that which conceals the second characteristic, the characteristic of suffering or dukkha. It's not enough just to see dukkha in the physical body. So it is important that we see dukkha in the mental states also. And in mental states, only when we see the arising and disappearing can we see the dukkha nature of these states. So during meditation, we try to be mindful of, say, our thoughts. One thought comes and we pay attention to it, then it disappears along with the attention, and then there is another thought, and another attention, another thought, another attention, and so the mental states just come one after another, arising and disappearing, and also the mindfulness of those mental states also arising and disappearing, arising and disappearing. So when you see the arising and disappearing in this way for maybe hundreds of objects, you cannot avoid the understanding that they are oppressed by arising and disappearing. They are bombarded by arising and disappearing. So when you see that constant oppression by arising and disappearing, you see the dukkha nature of mental states also. So only when you see the constant oppression by arising and disappearing, do you really see the dukkha nature. And only when you understand dukkha in this sense, being oppressed, constantly oppressed by arising and disappearing, can you understand that all five aggregates of clinging are suffering. Now, another nature. The characteristic of not-self does not become apparent because when resolution into the various elements is not given attention, it is concealed by compactness. Again here, the notion of compactness, because there is no compactness in reality. Now, we always see things as compact things, as solid things. Even our minds, we think as just one solid thing. We think that the mind now is the same as the mind a few moments ago, or a week or a month ago. And also we see mind as one group or one solid thing because we have different kinds of mind, seeing mind, hearing mind, smelling mind, and so on. But we think these all as just one. So there is the notion of compactness of these aggregates. If we do not practice meditation, if we do not pay attention to resolution into the various elements. When we see something, there is a thing to be seen, and there are the eyes, and there is the seeing. At least on our side, there are two things, the eyes and the seeing. Actually, seeing is composed of many different moments of mental states. But normally, we do not think seeing is composed of these small mental states. We take this as one thing, and we think that we see, I hear, and so on. We think that I hear, I see, and so on because we take this to be one solid thing. So we take things as a mass. And so long as we cannot break this mass into its components, we will always take as I or a person or an individual. And also, there are different functions performed by different states. Again, seeing. So seeing consciousness has the function of seeing, and then seeing consciousness is followed by other types of consciousness as receiving consciousness that has a function of receiving, and then investigating consciousness that has the function of investigating, and so on. So these mental states arise and disappear one after another But they have different functions. But we are not able to see these as different things. We see them as just one seeing. So I see, or a person sees, that is what we normally understand. That is, if we cannot analyze the seeing into different states, different mental states, performing their respective functions. Okay. And there is a difference in the way that mental states take objects. Now, one type of consciousness takes sight or visible object as object, and another mental state or type of consciousness takes sound as object, and another smell as object, and so on. So there is a difference in the way these different types of consciousness take different objects, but we just think that it is our mind that takes these objects. It is one and the same mind. So the eye that sees is the eye also that hears, and so on. So if we do not see the difference in the way they take objects, the mental states take objects, we cannot shake off the notion that it is this one compact eye that sees, that hear, that smell, and so on. Do you understand this explanation about another being concealed by compactness? So in order to understand this, you need to understand the meaning of another. Another means what? No excess of authority over it. So that is one meaning. And the other meaning is having no core. So this explanation has to do with that meaning. Anatta is that which has no core, no inner core, no essence. So long as we take things to be compact, we take things to be as a mess, we take things to be just one thing with many functions and so on, we cannot avoid the notion that there is a core, there is something like an essence. So that kind of notion is the notion of atta. So in order to break that notion of atta, in order to understand the another nature of things, we need to break things down into elements or into different components. So that is why it is said, resolution of the compact is effected by resolution into elements. So long as you cannot resolve the things into their components, you always think them as one compact thing. Once you are able to analyze, you are able to resolve this into component parts, you lose the notion of impactness, and so the notion of anatta is gone. So it is important that in order to see anatta in this sense, we need to break things down. We need to cut things to pieces. We need to analyze. Now, what do you think the Abhidhamma Pitaka is all about? I think Abhidhamma Pitaka is all about anatta. Although it does not say this is anatta, that is anatta, it is telling us that that everything is anatta, because everything is minutely analyzed. The mind is analyzed into mind and matter, consciousness and mental factors, and then consciousness is analyzed into 121 types, mental factors are analyzed into 52 and so on. And so everything is minutely analyzed in Abhidhamma. So I think that is to show that there is no compactness, there is no atta. So the whole of Abhidhamma Pitaka, although we learn many other things from it, is actually always pointing to this anatta nature of things. Everything can be analyzed into its components, and so everything is not compact. Since there is no compactness in things, there is no atta, no core. So when you practice Vipassana meditation, you make notes of objects that are at the present moment, and you see that at every moment the objects are different, and when you take mental states as object, you know that there are mental states, not just one compact mind, and so you are able to resolve mind into many components. You may not be able to give names to these components, but you see them, you understand them. So what is important is to be able to resolve them into component states and not being able to give names to it. So during the practice of meditation, you see that your mind is not just one mind. At different moments, there is a different mind or different consciousness. Say, one consciousness goes to one object and another consciousness makes note of it. And then these two disappear, and then there is another consciousness thinking of another thing and so on. So as you pay close attention to what's happening in your mind, you see that your mind, which you thought to be one compact thing, is actually a combination of or composed of many small different mental states. So once you see mind as comprising of these small mental states, you come to the understanding that there is no core in the mind. So when you see there is no core in the mind, you see the anatta nature of that mind. So now we understand the three characteristics of all conditioned phenomena. And they are characteristic of impermanence, of dukkha, and of not self or anatta. Now these three characteristics, do they belong to, or are they included in the aggregates? Are they aggregates? So Visuddhimagga Magatika says, they are not included in the aggregates because they are states without individual essence. That means they are just the modes of the conditioned phenomena. They are not conditioned phenomena, and so they are not aggregates. They are something, some quality or some modes of the aggregates. So actually, these three characteristics are not included in the aggregates. Then, are they separate from the aggregates? Now the Tika says, they are not separate from the aggregates because they are unapprehendable without the aggregates. Without the aggregates, you cannot see these three characteristics. So they are not included in the aggregates, but they are not separate from aggregates. So they are some name, some concept given to these modes for easy communication. So actually they are not a paramatta, not the ultimate reality, but some attribute of the ultimate reality, some attributes of the aggregates. So actually they are not included in the aggregates, but they are not separate from aggregates because they cannot be understood without the aggregates. And they are called concepts, because without calling them something, we cannot talk about them. So we need some name for them, say, to be able to talk about them. And so we have to give them these names. So these three characteristics are, again, not included in the aggregates, and they are not separate from aggregates, but they are connected with the aggregates, and they are called in Pali they are called panyati, a particular panyati. That means a particular mode of expression. It is to see these three characteristics that we practice vipassana meditation, and we will see them only when we practice, not just by saying the words again and again, like anicca, dukkha, anatta, anicca, dukkha, anatta. So they can be understood only through practice, and not just by repeating the words, not just by thinking about them. So if we want to see the three characteristics, we must practice vipassana. So when we practice vipassana, in the beginning, we try to get concentration. We try to make our mind steady, still, and free from mental hindrances. And then when mind is free from mental hindrances, then concentration comes. So through concentration, we begin to see things clearly, we begin to see things separately, we begin to see that the two things occurring at the same time pairwise. See, the in-breath and the mindfulness of in-breath, then out-breath, mindfulness of out-breath, and so on. So see these things separately, not mixed with one another. So after seeing that, we will also see that because there is the breath, there is the mindfulness of breath, because there is the intention to stretch, there is stretching and so on. So you see the conditionality of things also. And then you see the objects arise and disappear. And so when you see the objects arise and disappear, you see the impermanent nature of things. When you see the impermanent nature of things, you also see the dukkha nature of things. Because when you see things arising and disappearing, you come to the understanding that they are bombarded by arising and disappearing, oppressed by arising and disappearing. And constantly oppressed by arising and disappearing is what is meant by the word dukkha. So when you see the impermanent nature and suffering nature of things, you can also see the anatta nature of things. You see things arising and disappearing, And so that means there is no core in them. If there is a core in them, they will last forever and they will be all together. Now they are separate and they are rising and disappearing. And so there is no core in them. And also you have no authority over them. You cannot exercise any authority. You cannot tell them to stop, or you cannot tell them not to arise or not to disappear and so on. So there is no exercise of authority over them. And so you see the anatta nature of things also. So through the practice of vipassana meditation, through paying attention to the objects at the present moment, you can see these three characteristics for yourself. So once you see these three characteristics for yourself, you don't have to go by faith. Faith on the saying of other people. So you can verify that the teachings of Buddha are correct through your own experience. And once you see for yourself and you come to this firm understanding, nobody can shake you away from this understanding. So it becomes your very own property, your very own knowledge. So this is to possess that very own knowledge that we practice vipassana meditation. Suppose you are practicing meditation and you see your body disintegrate into powder. Well, you see your body disappear or something like that. Does that mean that you have seen anatta? Mahasi Sera said, not yet. Yeah? Not yet. Because even though you see your body disintegrating and it is a kind of another, you may be thinking, this is I who see it. So with regard to mental states, you have not seen the another nature. So only when you see both mind and matter as arising and disappearing at every moment, can you say that you have seen another nature. So we must understand that the real understanding of another nature comes only when we pay attention to both mind and matter and see them as arising and disappearing and as being oppressed by arising and disappearing and having no core and having no authority over it and so on. So until then, if you see only your body, then maybe you have seen anatta about 50%. So tomorrow we will study the benefits of understanding the three characteristics.